With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
It's very big. I mean, especially being home. You know, you got to win your home games. You got to win the AFC games. This is a great opportunity playing against a great team. You know, that was a playoff team last year. And, you know, we got to try to turn the page and start Sunday. So, and we got to do it. We got to play sharp. We got to play smart. We got to play fast. And, you know, we got to play as a team. If we can do that, you know, good things can happen.
It's going to be a unique experience when the Texans look to bounce back on Sunday. 3:25 kickoff. At NRG. However, Tony Romo and Jim Nantz are not calling the game.
Oh, man.
They instead will be in Los Angeles to call Chargers versus Chiefs.
Okay.
Calling the game on Sunday. You got a good squad. Kevin Harlan.
Okay.
Trent Green and Melanie Collins.
I got no problem with that.
I can get down with some Kevin Harlan and Trent Green. I like to hear what Romo and Nantz have to say, but that is not what is going to happen.
Harlan is excellent.
Harlan's great. Harlan might be better than Nantz at this point. Just kidding.
Just kidding. Well, certain things.
Just kidding.
I think so.
At certain things, yeah, I agree.
We're in Houston, man. Oh my God.
Hey, Nantz is a friend of mine.
Hey, well, not anymore. Here's J.J. Watt talking about the tackling that the Texans need to improve this Sunday against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
We've had an opportunity to do it live. We didn't do it that well. So I sure as hope we do it better this week. That's the plan.
Okay. He sure as bleep hopes they do it
what a potty
better.
Man.
That is the plan.
What happened to JJ? You actually like this, JJ.
I like this, JJ. Mm-hmm. I want JJ to cuss more.
Yeah,
I really
pull back
do.
The curtain a little bit.
I want at least four cuss words per mm-hmm. sentence from JJ Watt.
Mm-hmm.
I want some nasty. I want some grit. I want him grabbing people's face masks off.
Right.
I want him going out there
I
like
want him
Dick
to be
Buckus.
LT, like some rabid dogs.
Just gross. Yeah. I want him barking.
Yes.
Between plays. I want him foaming at the mouth. Hell, go do some steroids if you want to. I don't care. I want you as nasty
That's
as possible,
a bit much.
JJ.
That's
performance enhancing
yeah,
drug.
A bit much.
I decided to create the version of JJ that I want in the lab
mm-hmm.
in anticipation of this game against the Baltimore Ravens. There ain't no handshakes. There ain't nothing. It's time to get gross. I don't care if we're talking about kids. I don't care if we're talking about charity. I don't give a damn. All mm-hmm. I do is play football and rip people's heads off. I present to you
yeah.
a Landry Locker creation. I don't want to say in the loop because I don't want you guys to have to be lumped into my,
it's all right.
we're my
team.
Sins.
We're team.
Here is an in-the-loop creation of Potty Mouth JJ being asked about not being able to play catch with the kids on Sunday at NRG.
When I go around the stadium before the game and play catch with a little kid in that front row, showed up 2 hours before the game to see them turn to their parents and get excited, there's nothing that beats that.
Okay. I guess I'm good with that.
Let's get some more from Potty Mouth JJ.
Mm-hmm.
Potty Mouth JJ being asked by Greg Bailey about his foundation.
Hey, JJ, I'm a little off topic here, but I couldn't help but notice that your foundation's work continues despite the pandemic. How have you guys kind of kept that going, supplying the sports equipment to these young people? And then some of these videos that they post thanking you are pretty awesome. How do those hit you?
It's been difficult not having the Charity Classic this year, not being able to bring in the same amount of funds that we normally do, obviously. We're considering doing another fundraiser like we did in the past. Those videos and photos have been inspiring, and it's been great to see.
Man, he takes his foundation seriously. He takes his foundation.
That's the nasty I need.
Yeah.
That's the nasty I need right there. Give me some barks, Figgy. We need dog pound nasty. Some barks. Hoo, hoo,
hoo, hoo. There we go.
That's what we need. Body mouth JJ coming to a field.
He's got a dog in the background, man.
On Sunday.
What about throwing the ball to the kids?
Peg them next time.
Don't fire. Rifle them. Okay, rifle him. The ball.
Peg him.
Mommy, my nose.
Yeah, peg the kid. That's what I want. I want some nasty JJ. 325, though. That's going to be kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're going to be at the yard.
I'm going to the stadium. I'm going to the game, man. That's going to be exciting.
It's going to be weird to pull up at 325, isn't it?
Am I going to have to bring my own lunch?
That I don't know. I hate when media types talk about food, though. But if you want to do that, go ahead.
But, I mean, I get there early. I'll be driving from San Antonio. So I want to have a nice meal and sit back and enjoy the game. You got a problem with that?
Is there anything worse than a media type complaining about food in the press
box?
Did
I complain?
I'm just asking. Is there anything worse?
There's not anything worse.
I'm saying, is there anything
worse? You're
lucky
to be there.
Is there anything worse than someone complaining about food?
No.
What about when the broadcasters are complaining about the location? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. They got us in the end zone today.
Doesn't matter.
My apologies.
Doesn't matter. Call the game.
Yeah.
Doesn't
exactly.
matter.
Do your job.
What
would JJ say about it? Do your bleeping job.
Do your bleeping job. It sure as bleep better be done.
Yeah.
That's what JJ would say. It doesn't matter.
No, you're right.
In the Astros game this year, they were doing like they were calling it at home, and they kept mentioning like throughout the broadcast, and it was just like, man, nobody cares. Potty mouth JJ, Landry Locker, John Lopez, do not care. I'm going to hell on scholarship. I get it. But I want to right my wrongs.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to provide the Baltimore Ravens with some of that Southern hospitality. Here is Matthew Judon from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, talking about why it's going to be weird for him to get on a jet plane, fly to Houston, and play his first game during these times.
I usually find like one of the best pizza spots in town, one of the highest rated, and I eat pizza the night before the game, but we aren't allowed to leave our hotel, I think. So they just going to have to bring it to me. And we just going to have to be chilling up in a hotel. You know, that's just what it is for right now. It's a crazy time in a crazy, crazy world right now. So for us to continue to play games, I'm just going to have to switch up what I do. You know, pizza can be delivered anywhere.
So what kind of pizza should he get, OG? You've been around here for a while.
Yeah. You got to go to Frank's downtown, man. That's one of my go-to places. Cane Rosso.
Order, okay?
Huh?
Order. You just said go-to.
Go to that for your pizza. Don't actually go there. Cane Rosso is good. I think Pink's is a little bit overrated. Sorry, I should duck now because a lot of people love Pink's. I think it's a little bit overrated. But I'd go Frank's all day, man.
See, I like thin crust, man. So I'm kind of like that's kind of my thing.
Mm-hmm.
That is the thin crust.
So you'd love New York pizza. Do you like thin
St. Louis? Well, St. Louis is thin.
Let me ask you this. There's two types of thin crust pizza too. Do you like the thin crust pizza that kind of droops a little bit or the hard thin crust?
Both.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the hard thin crust.
Both. I don't like thick ass crust. Like Chicago style is
I love
trash.
Chicago style.
Trash.
I love trash. It.
That's a weak ass pasta.
Love it.
That's basically what that is. What's the best times to eat pizza?
You
can eat it anywhere. I'll go Bubba Gump here.
I think you can have it for breakfast.
I could go Bubba Gump on pizza.
You can have pizza. I like pizza late at night, probably.
Steaming hot. You can fold it.
Yeah.
You can tear off the cheese and eat it first. You can go crust first. You can put two pieces together and have like a double.
Mm-hmm.
You can eat it cold. You can eat it somewhat warm in the microwave. You can heat it up. You can put it back in the oven. You got to dip it in ranch.
What?
You do. You got to dip
no,
it in
you don't.
Ranch.
You do not have
to. Pizza. I can go all day on the pizza.
No.
Is that necessarily the ideal pregame meal, though? I thought you were supposed to eat, like, pasta. It's interesting that
he said night before. See, I think it's fine night before. Now, you got upset, you know, when they were doing it at a halftime of a game or a delay, right? A rain delay or something when they lost to Maryland.
When Texas did that? Yeah. I was
what? Order a bunch of pizzas.
Yeah, I wasn't thrilled with that. I don't think I want my Longhorns filling up on pizza at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
Stick to the orange slices or something like that, Tommy. That angered me. But it just seems like an interesting meal for him to go with. But that's what Matthew Judon's
no,
going
night
with.
Before is fine. Night before is fine.
Oh, no. Debbie the Texan's mad at me now.
Really? You don't want Debbie the Texan mad at you.
She said, keep your nasty to yourself at Landry Locker. At JJ Watt is on a whole different level. At Sports
well, that's
Radio
not what we have. That's not the audio that we have.
That's not what I heard right here. Nasty JJ Watt. Did she really have to mention JJ? Now it's going to be an out of context thing. It's one thing to clout chase. Come on, Debbie. You don't got to clout chase and put him in the timeline. Now he's going to be out of context. Although I think JJ might actually think this is funny. Here's JJ Watt on his foundation.
Hey, JJ, I'm a little off topic here, but I couldn't help but notice that your foundation's work continues despite the pandemic. How have you guys kind of kept that going, supplying the sports equipment to these young people? And then some of these videos that they post thanking you are pretty awesome. How do those hit you?
It's been difficult not having the Charity Classic this year, not being able to bring in the same amount of funds that we normally do, obviously. We're considering doing another fundraiser like we did in the past. Those videos and photos have been inspiring, and it's been great to see.
I guess they have been inspired. Take that, Debbie the Texan.
What's she getting mad at me for?
I don't know.
She don't want JJ to be nasty?
Because you went in the lab.
Did you like what you saw against Kansas City?
Because you went into the lab and you edited the audio there.
Here's JJ Watt talking about the kids. Here's JJ Watt talking about the kids.
When I go around the stadium before the game, play catch with a little kid in that front row, showed up 2 hours before the game to see them turn to their parents and get excited. There's nothing that beats that.
Next time a kid throws
a
ball,
what did he call the
JJ?
Kid in the front row?
A little S kid. I want, next time JJ throws a ball to a kid, I want him to throw it so hard that it hits the kid's shoulder, and then I want the kid to throw it to him. I want to swat it down and do the finger wag.
Like Greg threw it to Marsha?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Oh, my nose.
Yes.
Yeah.
Classic scene.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Brady Bunch. Yeah. Shout out to Greg, who was actually hooking up with Carol.
How about that?
It's impressive.
I mean, that's been verified by both parties.
Yeah. It's impressive.
Wasn't he like 19 or
he
younger?
He was old enough. Okay. He was old enough.
Man.
By the way, Partridge Family sucks.
You know what? I used to only watch it because it came on right after the Brady Bunch. I'm old enough to have watched the Brady Bunch when it was actually new shows every week. You want me to give you the schedule?
All right, I'll tell you if it travels well with time or not. Go ahead.
Okay, so 7 o'clock was Brady Bunch. 7:30.
Good show. Travels well with time.
Was Partridge Family.
Sucks.
8 o'clock was kind of the racy show of the time. Love American Style.
Meh.
It was about, you know, well, have you ever watched it?
Once.
Yeah, it's about like hookups, basically.
Meh.
Yeah. But in the 1970s.
I'm more of a TGIF guy.
It was the precursor to The Bachelor.
I'm more like a step-by-step, hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Have you seen this Lost Resort?
Family Matters. What's Lost Resort?
Or what's the one where like a couple separates and has to be tempted by other women? The Temptation Island?
Oh, yeah. That's stupid.
That's the dumbest
Come
thing.
On.
That's like, we're going to break you up. That's the goal of the show, to break up couples.
Come on. I mean, what we're going to Temptation Island for what?
Yeah.
It's like when you're in a relationship and someone goes on Real World, you know how that's ending.
Oh, yeah.
You might as well just say, Brad Pitt, come pick up my wife. Peace. 713-572-4610. I didn't come into this show thinking I was going to feel this way, but I got to confess, I got to be honest. I'm concerned about our quarterback. I'm very concerned about our quarterback.
I'm not.
We'll cuss and discuss next.
My boy B. White in the Bentley truck. Oh, yeah. I see your boy. Hey, represent, baby. Yeah.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Potty Mouth JJ got the internet going nuts. Got the internet going nuts. We had the show going nuts earlier, and I did not anticipate this being a talking point. But it hurts me more than it hurts anybody else because Tempogate continues with Deshaun Watson. Bill O'Brien yesterday. And let me just lay out some facts for you because it's one thing to say something sucks and it's one thing to say, you know, this offensive game plan was terrible. But sometimes facts are facts.
Right.
And tempo in the NFL when it comes to how you measure it is easy. It's amount of seconds between plays. And the Texans in week one, despite the fact they were down 17 when they first touched the ball on offense, they had 17 teams in the league ahead of them when it came to tempo. They were below the league average in tempo, despite the fact they were losing by three scores. 27 seconds was their average tempo. So that speaks for itself.
Right.
You could see it. I mean, any fan could see it. Any loophole, shout out to the loopholes, if you listen, you are one, could see it. But Bill O'Brien yesterday, when asked by our own John McClain, who joins us every Tuesday at 10:40, had this to say about Tempogate.
Bill, when you guys were down in the fourth quarter, a lot of time was coming off the clock between plays. Would you like to play faster in a situation like that? You kind of talk about just the tempo of your offense. Does it change from game to game, or do you like it to be consistent?
I thought our, you know, yeah, I guess the way that you looked at it, I guess it was, I thought our pace was pretty good in the fourth quarter. I mean, we're trying to, you know, we got to get the play in and get the play communicated. And, I think we scored a couple touchdowns. I thought our pace was pretty good throughout the game.
All right, it was not. I've laid out the facts. Now, I'm used to Bill O'Brien saying such things, although it is kind of discouraging when he says they got to get better at tackling, they got to make the field goal at the end of the half, but he says the tempo was good despite the fact the numbers say different.
You laid them all out yesterday.
And John McClain asked the question because he didn't even think it would be controversial.
Clearly knew that they were – he knew those numbers that you said, or he knew just from his from watching it. Yeah.
It was there.
Yeah.
Now, it's one thing for B.O.B. to say that, but Deshaun Watson yesterday was asked about it, and this is what had me dry heaving between segments, actually throwing up. I was literally on my knees throwing up in the bathroom.
It had the loophole split right down the middle when you mentioned it earlier.
Boss walked in there, and I had to play it off real quick and act like I was peeing. Like I had to get up from throwing up and act like I was peeing. That's how bad it was. Yeah, it was awkward. Well, I don't think he caught it, but been a little bit weird between he and I. I think he caught me throwing up in the bathroom, but it's not my fault. It's Deshaun's. Here's Deshaun talking about Tempogate.
In the second half, you guys, time-wise, played a little slower than the first half. And we asked Bill about the pace of the offense, and he said he was happy with it. Do you feel at times you guys should play faster, especially if you're behind like that?
You can, but at the same time, you got to be smart about that. You play a little too fast and need too much time for the Chiefs. At the time, you know, last week, we play too fast and you go three and out. Now the defense is back on the field and now they're tired. So you got to be able to control what you can't kind of control and you know, just kind of build from there. You know, every game is a learning lesson. So, you know, there's different things that we, you know, spoke about. You know, we just ran out of time. We just got to continue to have a better full first half than what we did and try to keep the game a little closer.
Deshaun either just doesn't know any better at this point. Or B.O.B. is rubbing off on him. And that scares the hell out of me, especially when you hear and you watch the tape leading up to this game and you hear Dan Orlovsky talk about how good Lamar Jackson is with tempo and decision-making, talking about that's the most impressive thing about him at this point. I am discouraged when I hear Deshaun Watson not acknowledge that the tempo needs to be a little bit faster. I expect it from B.O.B., but when I hear my quarterback, who we're married to till death do us part, that's our guy here. We've been waiting for this guy for a long time.
Yeah.
But when I hear him say that, it discourages me a lot more than when I hear B.O.B. say it, John.
Look, there is a third option, and I think the third option with Deshaun kind of not co-signing but not just, you know, dispelling Bill O'Brien's, you know, erroneous claim. I mean, we're not.
It's a fact.
Yeah, it's a fact.
It's a fact. Their tempo was not fast. It's a fact.
It was 18th out of 32 teams.
In the second half, it was 18th out of 32 and below the average. Yeah.
So
it's a fact.
Out of him not exactly, you know, dispelling that erroneous claim that they actually played with tempo, which I hate that term, with good tempo, with fast tempo. And that you know, the problem was we had some hots, you know, hot reads that weren't picked up, and you know, a couple of things with the line. The line played okay, but they played with good pace. That's not true. The third option with Deshaun Watson is he's just kind of being diplomatic here. He's not going after one game, and it's logical. After one game, even a really bad game like they had against Kansas City, Deshaun Watson is not going to all of a sudden say, yeah, you're right, we got to play faster. And then all hell breaks loose, right? I think that day might be coming, maybe midseason, end of the season, or maybe never. But right now, Deshaun Watson is not going to, you know, to throw his coach under the bus.
I don't even necessarily want him
or
to
contradict
say,
him.
I mean, it's a common sense question. Like, it's like asking, is the sky blue? And yes, it's blue. Like, it's that simple. Like, the pace was not fast. So, I don't. If you are right, and let's say that he's just being diplomatic, at what point does he stop doing that? Because it's doing him harm, it's doing the team harm, and it's doing a lot of people harm. Maybe they come out there and behind closed doors, they're saying the tempo was fine.
Right.
But I just don't see why Bill O'Brien can say we got to
be
better.
They're saying the tempo was not fine.
Was not fine.
Yeah.
But I don't see how Bill O'Brien can say we got to tackle better, we got to make the field goals better, we got to pick up blitzes better, but he's going to say the tempo was fine. It wasn't. Like, it was not fine. So I don't see what the problem is with Deshaun Watson saying, yeah, we'd like to play faster, we'd like to do that. And it's not necessarily because of anything I want.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of what he should want. Because if you play good soldier long enough.
I think he does want it.
Then why doesn't he say that?
It's just too early. I don't mean to be.
See, I think he just doesn't know. I just think he doesn't know any better. I think he's getting a bad education.
No, I think.
You think that he's just that he's being diplomatic.
That was one of your points. Like, he's getting, like, B.O.B.'s rubbing off on him. He might be getting conditioned. It's a common psychological thing. You know, you and I, being together as long as we have, we ultimately start picking up things from each other. Maybe it's terms. Maybe it's our approach or to radio.
I've heard you saying weasel a lot more often.
Yeah, something like that. Now, you know, I'm not going to say one hundo as much as you do, but
one time.
But you know what I'm saying? That's common psychological effect, okay? But I don't think that's going on. I think it's on the table. It's certainly possible. I trust Deshaun Watson so much. I'm going to, you know, to err to the side of Deshaun on everything. And I think he truly does want this. He's done it. And again, sorry to bring up Clemson because I know that's 5 years ago now. But
John.
But he's done it. We've seen
John.
It at the highest level.
John.
But a caller.
You're doing it.
Forget the caller's name. Greg, I think it was.
I'm going to be throwing up again.
Brought in. We also have seen him doing it at this level when B.O.B. wasn't in his head as much.
You're talking rookie
his
year.
His rookie year.
Look, man, he's been in the NFL more than he has Clemson. At this mm-hmm. point, Clemson doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If we're bringing up Clemson, that's a problem.
No, I agree.
That's a problem.
I agree.
Because that means that what he's doing right now, like, we're not talking about Lamar Jackson in Louisville. I haven't mentioned Louisville one time. That's the first time I've done it right there. Because he appears to be going on the right track. So the Clemson stuff, man, I don't want to hear about that anymore. That's mm-hmm. that's in the rear view. I want to hear about what's going on with the Texans, and I'm a little bit concerned. John Harbaugh said something interesting that I think adds to something that you said as we continue to talk about Deshaun Watson. The notion that maybe he holds on to the ball mm-hmm. a little bit too long. Here was what John Harbaugh, the coach of the Baltimore Ravens, had to say about that very thing.
Well, you know, one of the best in the league, and that's what he does. I mean, he actually, you know, holds the ball longer than anybody in the league. I think their offensive line does a good job. The scheme is part of that, but it's really mainly him, and he does it to create opportunities for the pass game. And it's just it's a big concern for a defense, a major problem for any defense, and we're working to try to figure it out this week.
I've been saying it all along that Deshaun Watson, I want to see the off-script mobile Deshaun as much as I want to see him on script. I do want to see him boom, 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 off the back foot, get rid of it, let's go. You know, the quarterback, the true pocket passer. But not just that. I don't want to take the life out of Deshaun Watson. I think what the problem is, and this, you know, I'm kind of, you know, contradicting myself now, the way I saw him pressured against Kansas City was unnerving. Because I've been saying I don't mind him getting hit occasionally if he's
let's just reset those stats, because again, these are facts.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just reset those stats. 10% of the quarterback pressures from week one, 10% the Texans accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
They had 24 The second most was 14 in Washington. So those are the stats right there.
Well, but not only those stats, it's where the pressure was coming from. You're looking at some of these, you know, all 11 views now that are out there from the Kansas City game. He was getting – it wasn't just a runner up the middle or a guy off the edge that he could make look like a fool. You know, he could spin out, avoid, run away from, and beat Deshaun and make a great play. That's what I want to see. I want to see that Deshaun. The problem with the Chiefs game, while there was one coming up the middle because Nick Martin screwed up, you know, Titus Howard let some guy – you know, get under him, and there was pressure coming from the outside, and then all of a sudden the pocket was collapsing at left guard. He had no chance. He was going to get destroyed. So when Bill O'Brien starts talking about we had some hots, yes, you had some hots. He couldn't see him because he was running for his life. That's not the Deshaun I want to see, and I think he absolutely would love to see some more pace to kind of, you know, prevent that and prevent the substitutions, but it's just hard.
I just hope he does. I hope he at least is doing what you're doing and being diplomatic, because if not, man, I'm scared as hell. I think I'm going to go throw up again this break. Let's get to know the foes landlocked style. Get to know the Ravens a little bit better. We'll also hear more from Potty Mouth JJ. In the Loop continues next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Tonight on Sports Radio 610, you can hear the Cleveland Browns versus Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Why the hell should you care about this if you're
big
a Texans
rivalry,
fan?
Man? That goes back. Very underrated rivalry.
Screw that rivalry.
All right, tell Figgy that.
They're Texans opponents. That's why it matters, John.
Okay.
They're opponents.
Okay. That's fair.
Two of the remaining 15 will be on the radio tonight. Sports Radio 610, Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield. Going to be facing the entire AFC North this season. Two of the other teams, the other two teams in the division, you got the Ravens Sunday, and then you got the Steelers the next Sunday. But we're going to see the Browns and the Bengals. We're going to see whether these teams are worth a damn. I think the Browns are better than than most think. I think the Ravens are just that good. I think the Browns are okay. Figgy's saying that he wants to see a folk hero around here.
Yeah, man.
Case Keenum. I'm sorry.
About
Figgy
that.
Wants Case Keenum in the game for the Browns. Could we see that? Who knows? You'll have to listen
not
to Sports
week.
Radio 610 to figure that out. Let's get to know the foe from the Houston Texans. World famous landlocked style. Another edition of Get to Know Your Foe here on Sports Radio 610. Best team in the AFC North. Arguably the best team in the NFL. The Baltimore Ravens. Fact number one. Deshaun Elliott, who replaced Earl Thomas at safety. Also from the University of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He dated his coach's daughter in college. He dated Charlie Strong's daughter in college. We've got a lot of loopholes. Shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. Weighing in on the text line saying they would never let that happen. They would never even think about dating their coach's daughter.
Well, I agree with that. That's most relationships of college age kids don't end well. They don't end in marriage. So it's going to be ugly, and you're going to still play for that coach. On the other hand, I will say there is kind of an exception here. You have to be one really, really good player. And he was. Because even if he breaks his coach's little heart, his little girl's heart, he ain't going nowhere. He's still going to be playing.
It's ballsy. I'll give him that. It's ballsy. He goes by the Joker. There's a new fact
for
your
really
brain
good,
heading into the game
way.
On Sunday. Yeah, he's had two season-ending injuries, so that's kind of been what has held him back. Another Longhorn. Maybe when it comes to being the best of all time at his position, he's that guy on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a better kicker than JJ is a D lineman?
Wow, that's a good example.
Because there's a lot of other good D linemen to compare JJ to.
How many really that level type kickers are left in the NFL?
I mean, I think he's the most accurate in league history last time I checked.
Mm-hmm. He's a bad man.
It's debatable. It's either J.J. is the best at his position.
All-world defensive lineman J.J. Watt.
All-world kicker Justin Tucker. Another guy who's going to be here. And Justin Tucker, man of many talents,
mm-hmm.
sings opera in multiple languages. Here's a little taste of what Justin Tucker can do on the opera stage, which John Lopez has been to, which I think is really weird.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I just
I go regularly.
I was just always told, keep your bitch in pocket by John Lopez. And
well, I do.
Obviously, it doesn't happen because you go to the opera.
How do you know I didn't want to go?
I don't know.
Just to, you know.
Just an assumption.
Expand your horizons a little bit.
Okay.
I'm a cultured man.
Okay. Here's Big Tuck singing some opera. One of these up?
Nah. If I go, I'm forced.
I mean, I'd go to a musical. At least it's a play. This dude's just up there singing.
They're not just they act too. It's an entire
They act at opera?
Yes. 100%. Haven't you ever seen La Boheme?
John, they act at opera.
Yes.
It's more of a concert, it's not a musical.
No, it's incredible sets and stories and yeah.
713-572-4610. We got loopholes in all demos. How much acting do you see in the opera? And I'm not talking about moving your hand a couple times and like it, there's actually a storyline.
Yes. What's wrong with you? Did you grow up in a cave? You never heard about Don Giovanni or
no
La Boheme?
I remember Don Vito from
How about
Viva
the Marriage of The Marriage of Figaro?
I watched Married with Children.
I just named all three that I saw. Those are the three.
Oh, man.
What's the matter with you, man?
I like a musical. I'll watch a musical. But opera, it's just a concert. It's just singing.
I'm not going to go out of my way, but you want to be cultured. You want to expand your horizons.
No, being cultured is overrated.
You want me to...
You want some good culture. But you don't want to just be cultured and go to an opera.
Okay, well, now...
Do you use chopsticks?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm using the culturally appropriate device.
Here in America, okay, we have something that works better than chopsticks, okay? We have the luxury and we benefit from having something called silverware. Okay? So we can still enjoy Chinese food, but while taking advantage of the finer things that we have and use silverware. Why do I have to use chopsticks?
Because it's culturally appropriate for the meal and the restaurant where you are.
They still have silverware. It's an option.
Yes.
So is it really
that's inappropriate?
Is
You're
it
a
really
rube.
Is it really culturally appropriate if
yes.
there's an option?
Yes.
It's an option. It's taking the worst option just because you think it's cultured, but it's really foolish.
You're being respectful.
It's foolish
to the history and the culture of the people in the place.
No.
That is hosting you.
No, that's not.
You want to really roll your eyes at me?
So they think I'm disrespectful if I grab a fork and a spoon and eat my
yeah.
orange
well,
chicken
no,
and fried
but
rice?
But they're probably going to call you what I just called you. What a rube. Okay, you want to really roll your eyes at me? Because I just remembered something. One of the places where I saw The Marriage of Figaro, it was when I was in Turin, Italy. And I figured I was in Italy.
Lord.
No, I think it's more understandable. I'm in Italy, the home of opera. There's the Turin Opera House right there. I've got a night off. I'm covering the Olympics in 2006. And I'm so like, let's go to the opera, man. You got a problem with that?
No, that's awesome. It doesn't surprise me. Nobu on the text line says, how the F does a fork work better than chopsticks? With a piece of orange chicken or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, no, it does.
Way
I'm
better.
Not, I'm not saying it doesn't.
Now, not on sushi, but I've heard that it's actually okay to eat with your hands sushi.
I haven't heard that.
I fight through the chopsticks, but I've heard it's okay to eat with the hands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I'm not that much of a slime ball.
How about, and I know this might draw a race card, but I do think... It
oh,
happens.
No. Oh, no.
I wish I was more courageous and could eat soup the way a lot of Asian people do in Asian restaurants. They just grab the bowl and just start woofing it down.
Slurping
it? Yeah. Just slurping it out of the bowl.
I do that.
Mm-hmm. You do?
I mean, not in public, but I do that. 713-572-4610. We're getting to know our foes here on In the Loop. Let's go to Tony. Tony, what it do?
Hey, what's up, baby? Hey, my son went to U of H. Well, he is classically trained anyway. But, yes, I have gone to opera for I don't know how long in support of him, but it was actually a very nice experience. He was in, like, Madame Butterfly and Figaro. And
there you go, Marriage of Figaro.
They don't talk. They sing the whole...
But
they act, yeah. Instead of the script being taught, they sing it the whole time.
Right.
It's amazing. Oh, it is
thank
amazing.
You. Yeah. Tony is not uncultured
Tony,
swine
I
like
hate you.
You
today, Tony. Gosh. But you can't tell what's going on.
You absolutely can tell. And by the way, the program has the story as well, so you can follow along.
In the program. Oh, God. You go to like a play or someone's, oh, did you read the program? Did you look at the program? This is a fine program.
Somebody texted, OG, don't waste your time with this guy.
Does Grease travel well with time?
The movie, the play?
Yeah.
Like just the movie. Olivia Newton-John? And yeah, I think it does.
That's a classic.
Oh. That last
you didn't
scene,
think I'd say that. Grease is a classic.
When she's in those black pants at the end. Come on now.
I was appreciating the art. I wouldn't be a slime ball like you. What'd you just do? Where did that come from?
That just happened.
Apple bottom jeans, baby.
getting to know the foe here on In the Loop. Mark Andrews. 12 touchdowns since 2019 in the regular season. That's as many as Will Fuller, Randall Cobb, Brandon Cooks, and Kenny Stills combined. They have 12. Mark Andrews, the tight end, has 12. But don't feel too bad. There was once upon a time when Andrews was a receiver in high school and recruited as one at Oklahoma. This is the Baltimore tight end talking about how good of an NFL receiver he feels he could have been.
That's a good question. I don't know. You know, I probably pretty good. I don't know. I basically play, you know, wide receiver sometimes, you know, so, you know, it's definitely my bread and butter, being able to get open, beat man, you know, find the zone. So, I know I think I could do it, but, you know, I love being able to play tight end. I love being able to, you know, be versatile and you know, maybe hide myself by blocking and then, you know, going out for a pass. You know, that's the beauty of tight end is, you know, you never know what they're going to do or where they're going to be. It's a beautiful position.
He's just an impressive player all around. Great receiver. He's reaching an elite level if he's not there already. And he doesn't come off the field because he can block. See, a lot of teams, like the Texans, you see Jordan Akins coming on the field, and they're in the, you know, one tight end set. You kind of think it's going to be a pass, you know. You see Darren Fells on the field, even though he missed a couple blocks. You know it's going to be, he's more of a blocker. I think that's what separates the real good ones. The real good tight ends can do it all, never get off the field.
All right, let's go to, is it Josu? Josu.
Close enough. It's Josue, like Jose, Josue.
Oh, there you
Josue,
go.
Man, I like that. Josue, what's up, man?
Thank you. No, I just want to say I'm listening to Sports Radio 610 right now, and you guys are talking about culture and opera and chopsticks. I just want to say I agree with Lopez because I, too, try to be a man of culture. It's like when in Rome, you do what the Romans
do.
Hey,
with a name like Josue, you have to. You have
Thank
to.
You.
You have to because that's a very nice name.
Yeah, so, you know, it doesn't hurt to try different things, even if forks are easier. They're easier, but if I use chopsticks, hey, it's impressive on a date, you know?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, see, it helps there too.
So Josue said
and then you
he's
can
all
drop,
culture.
You know,
he's just
I was
trying
watching,
to get laid. Josue said he's all culture. He's just trying to get laid.
Who's not? Okay, so like you take a girl out on a date, and you can just say, yeah, you know, I was in Turin watching Marriage of Figaro at the opera. No. All of a sudden, she's going to sit up in her chair and say, hey, now.
They don't like that now.
Come on.
Look, if you really want to impress a girl, I'd just say what I did on Saturday. I got on a PJ, got on the private jet. Went to the game. That's more impressive than what you just said.
I didn't say it wasn't impressive.
Bad and bullshit.
Oh, culture, culture, culture.
Did you do what I told you to do?
Lamar Jackson, his mom.
That's a no.
His mom called Bobby Petrino.
Mm-hmm.
After Petrino, speaking of slime balls, made him return punts. Told him, don't ever make my baby do that again. He's there as a quarterback. That's what it is.
Yeah, and he did not say sorry, Miss Jackson, because he's a stud. He's a quarterback.
Getting to know the foe here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Man, we got a lot of cultured people. I like this.
Thank you.
I like this. Someone said, well, actually, guy, the sky isn't actually blue. Guess you got a point there. It's a little grayish today. Hollywood Brown. He is the cousin of Antonio Brown. Scored 105 yards, actually, week one for the Baltimore Ravens. And he's friends with Gus Johnson because Gus Johnson had so much fun when Hollywood was in college. He had so much fun calling his touchdowns.
Mayfield winds up down the field. Hollywood! Who is this kid? Where'd he come from?
Baker drops back. He's looking, he's looking. Throws it deep. Hollywood!
Kyler Murray delivers, and it's caught. Hollywood! Lights, camera, action, Hollywood Brown!
Oh, man, that's so good. Plus Gus. Gus doing college football on a big play.
Gus and Joel Klatt are the best.
In college.
I like them more than Herb Street and Fowler.
It's just different styles. It's like, what's your flavor? What mood are you in? Are you in the mood for an action movie or a comedy? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It depends on what mood, because they're both equally great.
I mean, anytime a play-by-play guy can drop, he's got running from cop speed. When talking about Johnny Manziel,
yeah.
I mean, come on, Gus. You had me there.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I really needed. Three Heisman Trophy winners, by the way.
We're going to see the backfield?
On the Ravens team. I don't know if RG3 is going to get on the field, and if he does, that might not
be
a good thing.
But they used to have the Heisman formation.
The Heisman formation where they put LJax, RG3, and Mark Ingram back there.
Like a wishbone almost.
Yep. Hollywood has not caught a pass since his D1 career from someone who didn't win the Heisman at all. Like, someone that didn't win the Heisman. Yep. Baker, Kyler, and... now Lamar Jackson. Here's Mark Ingram, who also won a Heisman, talking to Mark Andrews after Mark Andrews scored his second touchdown in week one.
Hey, man, you made me proud, bro. I knew I gave you my name for a reason. I knew I gave you my name for a reason. My son, make your daddy proud, boy.
Oh, boy. You know, there's a lot of likable guys going to be on the field on Sunday for both teams. A
lot of likable guys that are going to be on the field. That's getting to know your foe here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. We know someone who's not going to be on the field. He is DeAndre Hopkins. And Bill O'Brien was a topic of conversation 1,400 miles away from Houston. We'll hear that. We'll also give you some news going on around the league next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.